Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Digs Show 359. Yes, it has been a little while, and I'm wanting to get back into it. So with that being said, I decided that as time has gone on, you know, the big thing with science fiction for a lot of years was we were getting all these DVD and Blu-ray releases, right? And, you know, the thing is there was a lot of money to be made, so everybody was releasing everything, getting rights to everything, and sometimes we were getting solid releases, and sometimes we were getting like less than stellar releases of things. But at the time, we were happy to be able to come across this old sci-fi that we used to watch when we were kids, and that we couldn't find anymore. It wasn't on TV anywhere. It was it had been out of print, or no way to find it. And I've always talked on the show about the division between quantity versus quality. We didn't have much science fiction, way back when. So everything that came out, we gravitated toward and we fell in love with, even if, later on we watched it again and realized, yeah, maybe that wasn't so good, but it was all we had. So we loved it all. Well, the times have really changed. I started doing this show back in 2005 and things have really changed. DVD sets of seasons used to be $70 or $80. And, if it's something that hadn't been on TV, we would scramble to get a hold of a copy of it because, we wanted to be able to relive these shows. And, initially, part of my deal of doing this was reviewing sets that I may have picked up, so to let you know how to spend your money, because the sets were so expensive. And because of that, you didn't want to, spend money on a set that was not, worth your time or your effort. Well, fast forward to where we are now, and things, the landscape for media has changed vastly. We've gone from a purely, exclusively physical media to slowly working into digital media, and now we're getting to the point where a lot of things are just changing exclusively to digital, and not that there aren't physical media versions out there, but the outlets to purchase these are getting smaller and smaller. Excuse me. Wintertime, my voice is kind of going to heck here because of the weather change. Anyway, so, you used to be able to go to Walmart and they had a huge DVD and CD section. And now those sections have shrunk dramatically. I mean, you used to go to Best Buy and they had three or four long aisles of physical media. And again, those sections have shrunk dramatically. Music has changed a lot, not just with being able to purchase tracks individually on different platforms, including iTunes. But we have subscription services now, which, a lot of people use. I myself use Spotify. And, I have all my CDs. I used to have an incredibly addictive CD habit. I'd buy at least one CD a week. And music is and always will be my first love. It's just something that it's consumable in a lot of different places. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can, with music, you can do another task while you listen. You can listen in the car while you drive. Or you can sit down at home and have the full experience with a decent stereo and sit down and read the liner notes and enjoy the whole thing for what it is. And I think we've really lost that at this point in time. But that's not my point. My point today is to talk about how we have gotten to this point where there's not a lot of physical media out there. And you are able to find pretty much every variation show out there. There's just a huge, huge amount of it. In the physical media realm, we have a lot of companies who are picking up more obscure titles and getting the rights to them and putting out Blu-ray releases and some DVD releases. Now, some of the Blu-ray releases, they've taken the time to do a rescan and put them together and set them in a box and put a lower price tag on them. And, you have companies like Mill Creek that do that, and I'm not knocking it. There are some things with Mill Creek that I have an issue with. The lack of subtitles on most of the releases is very frustrating to me. They recently did a Miami Vice release, and I waited till the price dropped, and I have the box set on DVD, and I bought the Blu-ray set. And the Blu-ray set, there are a lot of things I like about it. One of the things is that there's some serious picture clarity compared to the DVD set. What I don't like about it is that it's very bare bones in a lot of other areas. Now, I don't care so much about extras on a Blu-ray release like this. It costs this amount of money. You know, you're getting it for me, it's the durability of the discs, because Blu-rays, you can kind of beat them up a lot more than you can DVDs and not have a lot of issue. My problem is the lack of subtitles. So I was watching some of these episodes, and I decided to break out the DVD set and realize just how much effort and time they put into the DVDs when they made those. Not only do we have little mini episodes, a little synopsis that play through, but they give you it gives you the whole synopsis and text that you can read, and you have subtitles, the whole thing. You know, they really put the time and effort into doing a DVD release of the show. And so the Blu-ray release is very bare bones. But the thing is that the DVDs are hard to find now. The Blu-ray release, however, is fairly, available on Amazon and places like that. And so I understand that. You also have a lot of, the problem with living in a digital world and a digital environment is that, we want everything now and we want it immediately. And you can do that with digital. You know, you can get it, and within, depending on what kind of internet connection you have, within 5 to 10 minutes, you can start watching something and probably avoid buffering. But the other problem is that very much, before you would have to go and purchase the DVD, obviously, then you have to have shelf space for it, and then you have to have time to watch it and things like that, But you would take your money and say you're $40 or $50 and you go buy a DVD set, and then you sit down and watch the whole thing, during the course of a week or 2 weeks or however long it took you to consume it. And because of that, it was like an investment. So you invested in it, you sat down, you had that one thing. Now we have this digital where everybody has... you have all these different companies. Some are free, some are relatively inexpensive. Some are just having, the different networks have their own service. Some of those services are free. Some of the shows have commercials or whatever. But the point is you have a myriad of options on what to watch and how to watch it. And I think on one hand, it's nice to have the variety. On the other hand, trying to keep track of what is where because of all these exclusive things has become very complicated. Verizon had a service, and I think that it still exists. And, for example, they had all of Veronica Mars, which I have on DVD, but I wanted to go back and start watching that, and I was watching it while I was in the kitchen. Working on some stuff on the kitchen table, and I thought, well, I could just put this on my iPad and watch it. And that's what I did. I watched the first few episodes, and I want to go back to it. It was easy. Just put it on my iPad, and my iPad has great speakers, so I can just, do it that way. Well, there's not, an app for the TV. There's not an app for, there's not an app for your Blu-ray player, if you wanted to stream stuff that way. So it became kind of complicated on, how to do stuff. And now, on top of that, I read that Veronica Mars is going to move to Hulu, I think. So will this company have it? I don't know. So if you're watching a show that's multiple seasons, you might watch part of a season on one device or one app and then find out that it's moved to another app and it's exclusive. You might not have that that particular, program that they have, it might be one that costs money, as opposed to one that's free. So it's just a matter of finding everything. I've come to the point where I believe 80% of what's available, what has been made is available. It's just figuring out where the heck it's at. You can use sites like Can You Stream It, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. Most people that are looking to stream something are looking to see what subscription services are available to stream it, as opposed to buying it on a digital service like Amazon or somewhere like that. A good example of that is Black Sails. I bought the first season on DVD, on Blu-ray, and I loved it, and I just never went back to watch the rest. And I wanted to see the rest, and I can spend, $60 on the rest of the seasons, or I can get the Stars app for a couple months at $9 a month and just watch it all in there and then cancel when I'm done. Well, in the interim, Amazon Prime offered up the seasons for $7 a piece in HD. Well, I couldn't really pass that up. That's less than $1 an episode. So I bought the rest of the seasons on Amazon Prime, and that's how I will finish watching it. So you have to watch out for the sales. And that's the other thing, very much like I do with comics, I kind of keep an eye on what services have what sales. If you go to Blu-ray.com and you click on deals, it shows you the deals, not only the Blu-ray and DVD deals, but the service deals too. It has iTunes on there, has Amazon Instant Video on there. It doesn't have Vudu on there, but you can see what's on sale and you can snap it up when you know the price is right. What ends up happening, though, is you end up with purchasing a bunch of things on sale when you have the opportunity, and then next thing you know, you have this entire catalog of stuff you haven't watched yet. I do the same thing with digital comics. You know, I have gotten rid of my comic collection except for like four short boxes, and it's the comics that are near and dear to my heart, and so I'm hanging on to those. The stuff that had really good stories, the stuff that I know at some point in time I'll go back and revisit, but mostly... I don't read paper very often. It's usually I read digital for a lot of different reasons. I know there's a lot of divide in this area. Some people prefer physical, they want the paper, and some people don't want the clutter, they want the on-demand stuff. Now, for me, there's nothing I'm buying as soon as it comes out and paying full cover price for a digital comic. What I do is I wait till there's sales and I grab them up. Well, then I start going back through my back catalog and looking, and I'm like, I probably have enough digital comics that I've purchased on some of these great sales to last me the rest of the year. But it's one of those things where I just can't. It becomes a matter of grabbing it while it's on sale, knowing full well that you want to be able to read it. But at some point in time, you have to say, hey, I have so much stuff, so much the digital content to consume that I'm not going to have time to consume it all. So I need to relax a little bit. But if something great comes along that's normally, you know, $30 and it's $5, well, you'd be a fool not to grab it up so that you have it in your collection, so you have the opportunity to go back and read it if you want to. So the point of all this is changing, you know, one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to change the podcast a little bit. You know, I've been trying to think of what – there's so many podcasts out there, and there's so many good ones. So many that are much better than this show. You know, I got in on the ground floor of podcasting and – got quite the following. I got quite the community. And, you know, when I stopped, the thing that I took with me, the greatest thing of all, was I made a lot of really good friends. And some of these people I've never met face to face, but we all love science fiction. We all love comics. Excuse my voice. We all love those sort of things. And it was a great, and I talked to a lot of people every day, you know, with the you know, advent of technology that has instant communication. You know, text message, Facebook Messenger, Telegram, WhatsApp, all those things are available, email, you know. And so I've talked to all those people on a regular basis. We talk about our favorite shows. We talk about some great set that's coming out that we want to get our hands on and things like that. We discuss some new shows and what we thought of them. And that, to me, has been the reward for doing the show. But I've been kind of wanting to get back to doing podcasting, and as I've said before, I had some flooding in my basement, so I cleaned out my basement. I got rid of a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff got ruined. A lot of stuff was just junk. You accumulate stuff as you get older. You become an accumulator, and so I cleaned out a nice area, and I have a nice little podcasting set up here. But I've never had the time, you know, and. It just seems that as you get older, you have less and less time. I'm not sure how that happens. Not only do you have work and other responsibilities, but there's a lot going on. And one of the things that those of you that have been with the show since the beginning know that, you know, I'm pretty avid about staying active. I used to be a very large man, and I decided that I didn't want to be a very large man. You know, when my daughter was born, I was over 300. I was about 300 pounds. And so I decided I need to start doing something. I would never see her graduate high school. So I started, you know, walking, and then that went into running. And then I was on vacation in Tennessee and my bowel burst. And that was 70 pounds later. And so I went to the hospital. I did not know. I thought I just had a tummy ache. And it turned into a big thing where I was laid up for a couple of weeks. Had major abdominal surgery and all that jazz. Had to deal with an ostomy, and so I would spend my days just walking back and forth in front of the house because I didn't want to get too far, but because there's nothing else to do. I mean, I got caught up on some of my sci-fi. I watched the entire Alien Nation series, and I think out of two of the movies, I never did get around to the other ones, but so. I got a lot done, and I would actually record while I was walking outside and made little mini episodes and stuff like that. And so, you know, that you know, I was running before that, and then as soon as I was able to run again, I started running, and then it became an addiction. Like anything else, it just became an addiction. It's like I was running every single day, and then I started adding up the hours I was spending running. And don't get me wrong, it's great to be active. I'm not knocking it, but there was not it's not necessary for me to do it 7 days a week. So I'm trying to find get back to like a comfortable medium where I'm running two or three times a week. And you know, I'm older; it takes a toll on your knees and your joints and things like that. But man, it's great for your heart, and it's great if you want to eat, because when you're burning, you know, between 5 and 1,000 calories a day in activity, it's good for all that. But we're entering the cold months now, and the cold months I spend a lot of time at the gym or indoors, but it takes less time. Well, it takes, if I do something, an activity at home, it takes less time than running. Running is about an hour and a half, depending on how you do it. So I can probably wind that down to 45 minutes. So I was kind of wanting to get back. Anyway, I'm getting off track, and I promised myself I wasn't going to do that. So what the big thing I wanted to talk about is, since we're talking about, you know, changing up our entertainment. I've had DirecTV for, I don't know, 20 years. More than that. And I just got sick and tired of there being problems with, you know, things not working, or them trying to put a warranty on the equipment. They kept charging me $25 a month for this warranty, and I kept calling and canceling the warranty, and they kept trying to tell me, well, you need the warranty. And I said, don't need the warranty, because I don't own the equipment. You made that very clear to me. So why would I warranty your equipment? That makes no sense. If the equipment doesn't work, you're going to send me new equipment. Otherwise, I can't subscribe to your service, which is how you make money. And this went, we went round and round on this, and I can't even remember what the final straw was. Oh, they canceled. They canceled one of my stations where I was recording a show, and they canceled the CW station. And I wanted to see the last two episodes of the 100, and I turn on the thing, and they're not there. And I'm like, well, they must not have aired. So I started looking, and my nephew watched it. He said, did you watch the finale? I said, no, I don't even have it. What's going on? So I called DirecTV, and they're like, yeah, that station is no longer available, and they couldn't give me other information. So I said, you know what? I thought my DirecTV was tied to my phone account, because AT&T and DirecTV are one company now. It turns out that's not the case. Initially, I lowered my DirecTV down to the cheapest tier possible so that I could keep my unlimited phone service. What happened was that's not the case. So I canceled DirecTV. They gave me the runaround. I had DirecTV. The billing date was 1 day past the new billing cycle, and it cost me $25 for that 1 day. But anyway, so I canceled DirecTV, and I put up an antenna. I get like 30 some stations. I get all the networks, all the regular networks with my antenna. And one of the things that I needed was a DVR. So I started doing my research, and I came across, there's a lot of DVRs out there. You know, one of the ones that everybody seems to, I think a top tier one is probably the TiVo. The TiVo DVR plugs directly into your TV. It's also a lot of money. It's like $800. I was not willing to spend that to just get some shows that I could figure out how to watch some other way. The one thing I will say is the CW has an app that shows the episodes the next day. There's commercials, not a big deal. And I can stream it, and it looks great, and there's no problem. So, I mean, if I wanted to watch anything on the CW, which is where a lot of comic shows are at, which is what I like, The Flash and Arrow and things like that, I wouldn't need a DVR. I could just watch it the next day. But I kind of wanted to have control over some other stuff. I mean, my daughter likes some shows, and, you know, so I just wanted to be able to record what I wanted to be able to record. And also Comet TV comes in, which has a lot of science fiction, and I wanted to be able to watch those shows as well. So I looked and looked, and you know, even if you went with the TiVo one, you had to pay for the DVR, which is a small fortune, but then you had to buy a dongle for every television if you wanted to stream it. So if you had one, you know, otherwise you have to get multiple DVRs and run multiple lines, which is what I was trying to make things more simple. So what I ended up going with was a Tableau, T-A-B-L-O. They make multiple units. They make one that's just, it's just a light. You got to plug a hard drive in there, and they make one with 64 gigabytes of memory, and, has a dual tuner. So I went with that one because it was only a few dollars more than the light one. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like it, so I'm not going to invest in a hard drive until I figure out whether or not it's something that I need. So what I've been doing, the Tableau is working fairly well. You know, you subscribe to their guide. You can do it manually if you want, but their guide's $5 a month, or it's like $150 a year, or $120 a year, something like that. Or for like I don't know, under $200, I think you can buy a lifetime. Well, I didn't want to buy a lifetime because I don't know how long Tablo's going to be around. So I just stuck with the monthly. That way, if I decide I don't like it, it's $5 a month. I can cancel it. So you set up your shows in there. The guide goes like 48 hours in advance. It also shows you premiering shows and upcoming, like, you know, you can go to TV series and scroll through all of them and find the shows you like and set up the timer ahead of time. It's not like you can look at the guide that far in advance and record stuff. You kind of have to get your stuff set up and get it together so that you're ready to go. And then, you know, it records the show and you have multiple versions, you know, you can do a high end 720 or a low end 720, you know, things like that. I actually went with a low end because it makes streaming a little bit easier. But it looks fantastic. I have no problems at all with the quality of what you're getting recording. The one thing you'll find with the Tablo that I do not like is the tuner is not as good as a TV's. So shows that I'm getting 77, you know, between 82% signal on my TV, if you plug your antenna to your TV, it shows you how strong the signal is for each network. If you plug in the Tablo, you don't get that. You scan like you do with your TV and you get your channels. And you set up to record. The problem I'm having with the Tablo right now is anything under 80%, a lot of times it's not recording because it's telling me the signal's too weak. Now, I'm assuming that when it means it's too weak, the problem is it's trying to collect all those bits in order to make a recording, and it's not working. So I recently bought a booster, but I haven't gotten it yet, and I haven't installed yet because I'm trying to keep track of how much everything costs compared to a month of DirecTV. You know, right now the Tablo, I think I'm in for $150. The booster is going to cost me about $40, and I think the antenna cost me about $50. If that's all I need, then I'm good to go. I found a program. Whether you're running Windows or you're running Mac OS, there is a program where you can rip the shows and you can save them. You can make them MP4s if you want to. If you don't want to unload your DVR, so for example, if you buy an external hard drive for the Tablo, it formats to the Tablo format. You can't use that for anything else. But if I rip the shows from there and I save them to a hard drive, then I can use the hard drive I currently, many of the external hard drives I have sitting around here that I use for backing up my computer and backing up my files. So that is working. That so far that works pretty well for me. Now, keep in mind that when I'm pulling the shows, the file size, I'm not an expert at crunching the video or whatever, and I don't care. I'm getting, an hour of TV is, that's probably under a gigabyte. And there's commercials. Like I don't bother editing out the commercials. That's a lot more work than I want to have to deal with. So, and for me, I kind of like the commercials in there because when I go back and watch these shows, like you do with back in the day when you watched old VHS tapes and stuff you recorded off TV, you see these commercials and they kind of make you chuckle. So I'm leaving them in. That's how I'm doing it. It's my personal stuff. I'm backing it up. But the things that I back up are just shows like Space 1999 showing on Comet. I don't have the DVDs of that, and I don't have time to. There's like 3 or 4 episodes a week. I don't have time to watch it all, so I'm just kind of backing those up. Like the stuff that's showing now, I watch it and I delete it off of there. On a side note, it's kind of funny. My daughter is currently in Spain and she's studying abroad, and she likes Grey's Anatomy, so I'm able to record Grey's Anatomy, and then I'm able to convert it. And I can make the file size as small as possible. And then I put it in Dropbox. And then she can watch it in Spain because they don't have a show over there. So she can watch Grey's Anatomy over there. So she's kind of caught up on what's going on in Grey's Anatomy. So that's kind of funny that that I'm able to do that, with the technology we have today. So that's kind of what's going on with the Tablo and with the cord cutting and whatnot, with all the apps. I know a lot of people are cutting cords, and I know the big thing is live sports. Well, I don't watch sports, so I don't care about that. And I have, I have Netflix, I have Amazon Prime, I have DC Universe, and I have the different apps. Now, some of the apps are good, some of the apps are horrible. CW, I think, has the best app of the network apps that I've used, because it actually puts the entire show on there and I don't mind the commercials, and it works pretty good. I haven't had much problem with, unless we're pulling a lot of bandwidth in the house, and I mean, I don't have the best bandwidth there. I don't really have a lot of problem watching the shows that I want to watch on there. So that's working out pretty well for me. Now, what I would like to do continuing this show is by no means have I gotten away from, collecting, physical media. There's a lot of stuff available out there. And one of the things that I have been doing recently is looking for, there's a website called Second Spin. There's a bunch of websites similar to that where you can buy used movies or used TV shows. If there's something I want to see and it's not streaming somewhere, well, then I just go buy the discs online and get them for a fraction of the cost. The other thing is if you have pawn shops in your area, I recently went to a pawn shop and bought Expendables 1 through 3 on Blu-ray, and I bought The Equalizer on Blu-ray, and it cost me, I think, $2.90. So, and both things are in excellent condition. So I really cannot beat the price of buying movies that way, you know, when it comes to wanting to see stuff. I mean, heck, that's cheaper than, you know, it's cheaper than Redbox, because I think Redbox on Blu-ray is $1.50. So, and you can pick them up and watch them whenever. So I'm not done collecting physical media. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I want to see, and I like to add to my collection. And a lot of the upgrades that have currently been coming out have been well worth the money. I think when you take the physical media market and you condense it, then you start making products just for that market. So we're going to get some great Blu-ray sets. The current Tom Baker Blu-ray set is an example of something that, you know, they put a lot of time and effort in. Yeah, it was kind of expensive. The price finally came down to something that was reasonable. They're working on a naming convention. I guess they're going to do the seasons by Doctor and then call them season one of Tom Baker, season one of Peter Davidson, things like that. But it is the fact that they're taking the time and effort to do this definitely shows that they know that there's a market there and they can take care of those customers. BBC has kind of dropped the ball on a Tom Baker set, and I will talk about that later on. But I want to talk about physical media on here as well and what is available out there. Anyway, my plan here is to try to keep the shows under half an hour and to do a review of whatever is, whatever comes across my desk, so to speak, whatever grabs my attention, whenever, so that I can talk about to you guys, see what's out there. I know one of the things that is becoming frustrating to some people is the fact that as companies bring out their own streaming services, they're trying to get their properties back and they're jumping all over the place. I mean, Netflix has been the place for a long time. And, you know, now you have, they're canceling some of the Marvel shows. I don't know what's going on with that. I know that there's a million theories out there of what's happening with, the fact that they canceled Iron Fist and Luke Cage. And hopefully some of the other shows are not going to get canceled, because I really like Daredevil and Jessica Jones. But we'll see what they're going to do. I mean, you know, Disney's going to have their own thing. They want to have, they want to have control of their properties. I don't think that they want to do a Luke Cage or Jessica Jones type show on their service. But at the same point in time, maybe they don't want these more adult-oriented shows floating around other services and being connected to them for that reason. But like I said, there's a lot of theories going around. I'm not sure what the game plan is there. But there's definitely a lot of stuff out there. Not only, and I haven't even touched on like audiobooks. The fact that Audible is doing Audible exclusives of certain science fiction books that we haven't seen in a long time, or even doing original material. There's just a lot of entertainment out there, a lot of things out there. And, you know, if you are a science fiction fan, you know, it's like you fall in one of two categories. In my mind, you know, you're somebody who wants to absorb all this stuff because it's still cool. Like after all these years, like even, you know, these same ideas are still kind of neat. You know, these different worlds they create, they're fascinating to me. Or you're one of the people who just are trying to grab these shows from your childhood and collect a lot of physical media. And I'm kind of in the middle here as far as the collecting of physical media. I have a lot of DVDs and Blu-ray sets, and I have a lot of things that have come to Blu-ray that I've bought, I've upgraded on, and given the DVDs away. And there's some things that the DVDs have been put together so well that I don't want to part with them. You know, the Miami Vice sets are one of those examples. You know, it's like the DVDs are put together so well that I'm not willing to part with those, even though I have the Blu-ray set. But I'm also older and I don't want all this clutter. So I end up getting rid of a lot of things. I have a lot of DVDs here that I'm probably never going to watch that either have been given to me or for a while there when we wanted to watch a movie, we would have a movie night and, you know, we'd kind of plan a week ahead And a lot of times you couldn't find DVDs anywhere of the stuff. So my wife would go on Amazon and buy them used for, you know, $2 or $3. Some of the older stuff you can't find on Redbox. And Netflix has been really, their DVD selection has really dwindled. I actually dropped my Netflix DVD account because everything I wanted, if it was a series, they might have disc one and two and five. And the other ones they didn't have and they weren't going to replenish them. So what was the point if you couldn't watch the whole thing? So I kind of got away from that. So if you wanted to watch something that wasn't brand new and you couldn't find it anywhere else, you had to buy a disc. And at the time, my bandwidth was like 4 megabits down. And still now I'm only like at about 18 to 20 megabits down. So it's like my bandwidth is not that great, but we can stream at least two different services at the same time. So there's that. But that's the one nice thing about the Tablo, even though it uses your wireless connection, it's not using the internet. So so far I'm able to stream stuff to the TVs from the Tablo and not have any problems as far as internet connectivity. But you know, there's just a lot of different ways to watch stuff and a lot of different things out there. And so I've thought that, you know, as I was rethinking, you know, I wanted to come back and start doing a podcast again, what to cover. You know, there's a million things out there. And, you know, my idea was always to be aimed at the person purchasing these and, you know, trying my best to try to give a balanced review of whether or not it's worth your money. And now that's changed, not so much to worth your money, but whether it's worth your time. You can always make more money, but you can't make more time. And with so much stuff out there and so many people saying, oh, I want to see this, or you got to see this. There's a million recommendations out there for a lot of different shows that are floating around. But for me, I just want to talk to people, you know, talk at people and try to get, you know, get information out there. I mean, to me, it's an outlet, and if nobody listens, that's cool. But I don't think that's the case. I think as to what the community's still going pretty good. The forums are kind of up and down. I find as that people get more disgusted with social media and what goes on there, that the forums become a good outlet for talking about different shows and different things out there and making a good conversation. You know, we haven't had a good debate on there, but I'm sure that it's coming. Anyway, that's the show. This is Aaron. Over and out. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you